Hello and welcome to this week's recording of the Wallingford and District Talking newspaper. We're reading articles from the Wallingford Herald, published on Wednesday, August the 12th, 2026. Three readers this evening are Alec Hayton, Pat Hayton and Jane Houlihan, the copy is Helen King, and the producer, myself, Lawrence.
Hello, this is Alec. Accusation of sex assaults. A South Oxfordshire man has pleaded guilty to two sexual assaults. Jamie Elkins of Blue Mountains in Wallingford admitted the charges at Oxford Crown Court during the hearings on July the 16th and 17th. The 24-year-old had been accused of two counts of sexual assault on a woman and appeared before Judge Michael Roke. His sentencing has been scheduled for later this month on August the 21st. The severity of the sentence will depend on the harm caused to the victim, as well as the intent of the offender proven. In addition, specific aggravating and mitigating factors will be taken into account.
Hello, this is Pat. Grants for community projects. Community groups are being encouraged to apply for a share of £270,000 to support grassroots projects. The funding is being distributed through South Oxfordshire District Council's Councillor Community Grant Scheme, which offers up to £7,500 per councillor for non-profiting organisations, including voluntary groups and town and parish councils. Georgina Heritage, Cabinet Member for Communities at South Oxford District Council, said, "Out of all the grants we offer, this one is personal for our council members. We're able to directly support organisations in our ward that we see make a difference to our communities every day. We give organisations plenty of time to get in touch with their ward member and discuss funding that they need. But we would encourage them to get those emails or phone calls in early so that we can review the projects and funding being requested. Past recipients have included mental health support groups for children, sporting equipment memorial benches, and solar panels for community buildings. In the 2024-25 round, the charity Train was awarded funding to help plan and set up activities for young people in Didcot and Wallingford over the summer holidays. Ben Drabble, CEO of Train, said, "For a lot of our young people, summer can be a really isolating time."
Hello, this is Jane. The next article is Edna does 100 laps for a 100th. A centenarian has completed a 100-lap garden walk to celebrate her 100th birthday. Edna Hardy, a resident of Westgate House Care Home in Wallingford, took on the challenge to raise money for the Home's Residents Amenity Fund, which supports activities and outings for residents. Born in Greater London in 1926, Miss Hardy has lived in Wallingford for 67 years and has been a resident of Westgate House since June 2024. She completed her final lap on her birthday, surrounded by fellow residents, Westgate House colleagues and members of the local community. And the article is accompanied by a picture of Edna wearing a nice pink dress and a pink tiara.
Complaints against home development. More than 130 objections have been lodged against a proposed housing development in a small Oxfordshire village. Olivia Holmes wants to build around 102 houses for the open market and 68 social or affordable homes on a site and an undeveloped field in Benson, south of the Watlington Road. The village in South Oxfordshire is currently home to nearly 5,000 people, with only a small co-op store and two pubs serving the residents. Because of the size of the proposed development, if SODC intends to refuse it, they must notify the housing secretary, who could overrule the plan. Residents have voiced concerned about the impact on the local infrastructure. Ross Raitt of Brook Street said despite all of the recent developments, the village infrastructure has not changed at all. The school is full, the doctor's surgery cannot cope with current patients, and appointments are booked well in advance. Parking in the village centre is dreadful. Shane Willoughby of Blacklands Road said Benson is a wonderful village because of its balance between homes, community and countryside. Once this land is built on, it is lost forever. The NHS have clarified the current GP practice could not accommodate new patients, and other residents have echoed these concerns, stating that the village services are becoming too strained.
A Wallingford ukulele band entertained a crowd of more than 150 people as it closed the outdoor concert series for the summer. Wally Ukes put on the last show of the Wallingford Castle Gardens programme on Sunday, August the 9th, delighting a large crowd of picnickers with free lunchtime performance. A varied repertoire of well-known classics and crowd-pleasing favourites from the past 60 years rounded off another successful season of free concerts in the gardens. Pete Underhill, group leader of Wally Ukes, said, "It's always a pleasure to perform in Castle Gardens. These events epitomise what Wally Ukes is about, having fun, sharing music with each other and with our community." The group has been growing since it was formed just over 3 years ago, with nearly 160 members joining the ranks. The band's next stage will be at the Bunkfest, the free annual music festival taking place from Friday, September the 4th to Sunday, September the 6th. And the article is accompanied by a really good photograph of a large section of the band, fortunately under gazebos because of the heat, and they're all playing and singing with great gusto.
Tips will no longer accept these items. Rubbish Tips will no longer accept certain items in a major change by Oxfordshire County Council, which has seen a new £15 charge introduced. A national crisis in recycling capacity has prompted the county's Household Waste Recycling Centres, HWRCSs, to only accept fridges and freezers from Oxfordshire residents. Oxfordshire County Council, which operates the county's 7 recycling centres, said it would temporarily stop accepting the items from people living outside the county in order to prioritise Oxfordshire residents. The measure reflects a nationwide shortage of specialist facilities able to process fridges and freezers. This has created a significant backlog across the sector, with some councils around the country suspending acceptance of all fridges and freezers at their recycling centres. Oxfordshire County Council's targeted approach is intended to reduce incoming tonnage and protect limited storage capacity, while maintaining the service for Oxfordshire households. The HWRC booking system has been adjusted so that non-Oxfordshire customers can no longer select fridges or freezers when making a booking. And customers with existing bookings will also be contacted to advise them of the temporary restrictions. The situation will be kept under close review, and the council will continue discussions with its contractor and disposable outlets.
MP critical of decision to release PC Andrew Harper's killers. Freddie Van Mierlo, Lib Dem MP for Henley and Tame, signed an open letter from Thames Valley MPs of his party, which said they were shocked by the idea that the men jailed for the manslaughter of PC Harper would serve a shorter sentence. PC Harper, who was from Wallingford, served as an officer of Thames Valley Police based in Abingdon and was killed in the line of duty in 2019 at the age of 28. Two of his killers were Jesse Cold and Albert Bowers, who were both 17 years old at the time and were convicted of manslaughter and ordered to serve 13 years each in jail. Widespread backlash has followed the government's announcement that an early release scheme designed to tackle prison overcrowding could see the two offenders let out of jail halfway through their sentence. The third killer, 18-year-old Henry Long, was jailed for 16 years and will not be eligible for the scheme. A petition launched by Aileen O'Connor, chair of the Thames Valley Police Federation, reached nearly 900,000 signatures in less than a week. A statement on the proposed early release of the two killers, signed by the eight Lib Dem MPs for the Thames Valley, said we were shocked to hear about the proposed release of those involved in the manslaughter of Andrew Harper. Under no circumstances should they be eligible for early release. He was a much-loved police officer in the Thames Valley. His life touched many thousands of people here, and he's greatly missed. We shall share our constituents and local police forces' upset and outrage that Andy Burnham has not included PC Harper's killers in the criminals being kept in prison. The prospect of the release has caused widespread hurt, and we are fully behind his family in their campaign to keep them locked up. The MPs added that it is hard to square the government's decision to allow Cole and Bowers to be eligible for early release, given that Harper's Law, which extended mandatory life sentences for those who kill emergency workers in the course of their duty, was passed in 2022. Lissy Harper, the officer's widow, said the government has punched us in the gut and should be ashamed of themselves, and we hope we can make the current government come to their senses and realise we cannot put people like this back on the streets. And the article is accompanied by a nice photograph of Andrew and Lizzie on their wedding day.
Researchers make big breakthrough. A groundbreaking fusion energy project has broken new ground in the race towards commercial clean power. Researchers at the UK Atomic Energy Authority's UKAEA Cullum campus near Abingdon reached record plasma pressures during their latest experiments on the MAST upgrade fusion device. The experiments, completed in 2025 and 2026, produced more than 1,100 fusion plasmas and demonstrated the high-pressure plasma ever achieved on the MAST upgrade machine, a critical step towards developing commercial fusion energy. James Harrison, head of MAST upgrade science at UKAEA, said, "The results genuinely shape the design of future fusion power plants. Accessing four stable high-performance plasma regimes, including QH mode, QCE, and I mode, and our world-first plasma precision control technique, demonstrates that MAST upgrade is producing science at the leading edge of what is possible. The level of international interest in our data reflects the UK international role in global fusion research, and these findings take us another step to closer to practical fusion energy. The experiments heat hydrogen into a super-hot, glowing gas called plasma, then use powerful magnets to hold it in place without it touching the machine's walls. Scientists are testing how to keep this mini-sun stable and safely manage its intense heat, key steps towards future fusion power stations. Fusion energy involves heating and confining hydrogen isotopes at extreme temperatures and pressures to create this plasma. A plasma is a super-hot, electrically charged gas, like ordinary gas heated so fiercely that its atoms break apart. If successfully harnessed, it could offer a long-term, low-carbon source of energy. One of the main challenges for future reactors is controlling edge localized modes, sudden plasma bursts that can damage a machine's components and reduce performance. The mast upgrade team built on earlier ELM suppression efforts by using advanced magnetic field techniques and exploring new plasma confinement modes. These included quiescent H-mode and I-mode, both of which allow stable, high-performance operations without the disruptive ELMS. Researchers also developed a new plasma control method using visible light emissions from deuterium to detect minute positional imbalances in real time. This approach moves fusion devices closer to the automated real-time control systems that will be needed in commercial reactors. Mast upgrade also explores ways to reduce the extreme heat loads on reactor components, including injecting nitrogen at the plasma edge to convert excess energy into light and studying advanced diverter technology. The team investigated negative triangularity plasma shapes, which could allow for ELM-free high-power operation, a concept drawing interest from researchers worldwide.
Thames fixing more than 1,000 leaks weekly. Thames Water has confirmed that it is fixing over 1,000 leaks weekly amid a temporary hose pipe ban affecting millions of its customers. A spokesperson for the water company said it is fixing 20% more leaks than normal, or the equivalent of one every 10 minutes. The company has said the prolonged hot and dry weather puts pressure on the water pipes, with dry ground putting strain on the pipes. At the same time, the company has put the blame on customers as higher demand for water increased, making bursts and leaks more likely. The company also confirmed it has replaced 100 kilometres out of 140,000 kilometres total of water mains since April last year, their biggest upgrade in 150 years. Additionally, £500 million has been invested in finding and fixing leaks. The company has just come under fire after CEO Chris Weston said on the BBC's Big Boss interview podcast that some of the firm's targets were beyond what they could achieve. He said, "We have to hit a certain level of leakage, but it's so far in excess of what we are capable of doing. I think anyone would be capable of doing. However much money you invested, it's not going to be achievable." Last year, it was fined a record £122.7 million by regulator Ofwat, largely for breaching sewerage spill rules. The company, serving 16 million customers in London and parts of southern England, treats 1.3 billion litres of waste daily.
Plans unveiled for three new terraced homes. An historic antique centre in Dorchester, dating from the 1950s, could become terraced houses if the new plans are approved. The former Footsteps Paediatric Physio Centre in Dorchester was historically the workshop and antique centre of Halliday's Mantelpieces Limited, and the company bought the site in 1959. The family-run bespoke carpentry and woodcarving business operated from 1961 until it was dissolved in 2022 and began its life at the characterful site in 4 Queen Street. After the Halliday's workshop operations moved, Queen Street site was used as a showroom for Halliday's antiques up until 2010, when the business closed. In 2011, the building was used as a physiotherapy centre for disabled children, the Footstep Centre, which moved to a different premises in 2025. The owner of the site, Halliday's UK Properties Limited, has now submitted a proposal to SODC seeking planning permission to convert the workshop into three houses. The planning statement included in the proposal said a change of use to residential accommodation is being sought because the property has not received any interest after being marketed for new tenants within its highly specific and restricted permitted use as a physiotherapy centre. No inquiries have been made to the agent marketing the property since the previous physio practice, rather than a typical industry demand. The agency said the potential occupants of the building is constrained to a relatively narrow sector of the commercial market, and coupled with its state of disrepair, the site is not attractive to new tenants. A report from the local building firm, JLP, said renovations required to make it fit for a new tenant would include removal of asbestos, fixing leaking roof windows, and rot and structural damage caused by water ingress, which could cost over £300,000. Instead, the developer is proposing the demolition of the rear frame of the existing building, preserving only the historic workshop facade and rebuilding it into one four-bedroomed house and two two-bedroomed homes, each with a rear garden.
Children's author helps to put reading back on track. National Treasurer Michael Rosen teamed up with a train operator in a campaign to help stop the decline in the children's reading world. Children's author Michael read his popular book, We're Going on a Bear Hunt, to children on a train to help launch Great Western Railway's campaign to encourage youngsters to keep reading during the summer holidays. The rail company had added mini libraries to stations across its network, including Didcot Parkway. After a survey of more than 1,000 parents showed children spent an average of 11 hours per week in front of screens during the break from school, compared with 3 hours a week of reading. It comes amid the government's National Year of Reading. Mr. Rosen said, "We are in this world. I use a screen, I type on a screen, I look up information, I read things on the screen. The question is, are these special measures and special rewards from reading a book that maybe you can't get on a screen?" New measures to curb the hours children spend on their devices and protect them from online harms were announced by the government under Sir Keir Starmer this summer, including a social media ban for under 16s, which was set to come into force next spring.
Skate park shut by oil. A South Oxfordshire skate park has been forced shut after oil was deliberately poured over the surface. Benson Parish Council announced its Chipmunk skate park will be closed until further notice as a consequence. The oil has seeped into the concrete and it will need specialist cleaning to sort it out. A statement from the Benson Council said, "Unfortunately, the skate park is now closed until further notice. A couple of litres of oil have been deliberately poured over the surface, making it extremely slippery and dangerous for users. We will reopen once it has been cleaned, which may take some time as the oil has seeped into the concrete."
Homeowners slashing prices by thousands of pounds. Homeowners in Oxfordshire have been slashing house prices by thousands of pounds to secure sales, with some postcodes seeing cuts of almost £19,000. According to data from professional home buyers and auctioneers, property solvers, sellers in the OX postcode area reduced their asking prices by an average of £13,500 in the 12 months to August 26. The largest reductions were recorded in OX33, where sellers dropped prices by about £18,500. Ruben Selvanayagam, who co-director of Property Solvers, said, "Although market conditions remain challenging, well-priced homes continue to sell across the country. Buyers are simply more discerning than they were a few years ago and have become much more conscious of value. The gap between asking and achieved prices often reflects sellers testing the market rather than buyers are actually prepared to transact. The figures were compiled using Property Solver's asking versus sold price tool, which tracks discrepancy between initial listing prices and the final sale values recorded with the land registry. Other areas with significant price drops include OX2 and OX44, where sellers reduced prices by nearly £18,000 and £16,000 respectively. The smallest reduction were in OX16, which is Banbury, where 340 sellers lowered prices by £8,500.
This article is accompanied by a very attractive picture of the Wallingford Springs Hotel. Drug dealing will not be tolerated. Police have said that drug dealing will not be tolerated after a man was jailed for 7 years after more than £10,000 worth of MDMA was found in his luxury hotel room. Luke Hitchcox was found guilty of being in possession of the Class A drugs after they were found in his room at Wallingford Springs Hotel. The 28-year-old had denied one count of possession with intent to supply a Class A drug with intent to supply. These relate to 1,441 tablets of MDMA. Hitchcock pleaded guilty to being in possession of a Class C drug on the same occasion. This was nitrous oxide, also known as a laughing gas. The drugs were found in the hotel room on November the 17th, 2023. On July the 29th, a jury found Hitchcock of Cullum guilty by unanimous verdict. After he was sentenced, investigating officer PC Andrew Gunn said, after a protracted and intense investigation, a positive result has been achieved in court in relation to drug supply in South Oxfordshire. Drug dealing will not be tolerated, and anyone thinking they will not be caught is mistaken. This highlights the consequence of illegal and illicit actions, and we will seek to obtain maximum justice against offenders as a result. Drugs affect many vulnerable people across the Thames Valley, and we will prosecute offenders who seek to benefit from this. The judge, Mr. Recorder Alex Young, jailed Hitchcock for 7 years and made orders for the drugs to be destroyed. During the trial, Matt Knight Prosecuting said, these were luxury lodges. The total cost per night was £1,000 on that stay. He wanted to upgrade to a room with a hot tub. The jury heard the defence case was that drugs belonged to a man called Jack Bowers and that he left the drugs in Hitchcock's hotel room. Mr. Knight said he, Hitchcock, attended the police station without his mobile phone. He didn't mention Mr. Bowers at all in his first police interview. Only when he was interviewed later did he have to come up with something more to explain his position. He said his fingerprints were on the bag to get a pill for himself. This is someone who has previously been involved in the supply of cocaine. Mr. Knight told the jury Hitchens had 5 convictions in the last 6 years. The jury was previously told that cleaners found the drugs in a Sainsbury's bag inside the room Hitchcock had been staying in. Mr. Knight told the jury that MDMA tablets cost around £10 each. This means that the value of the MDMA tablets alone was around £14,000. The jury was told that canisters of nitrous oxide and balloons were also found in the room. Hitchcock accepted that they belonged to him. However, he claimed that the MDMA belonged to someone else.
MP slams block on lamppost flags. The county's ban on lamppost flags has been slammed as nonsense by a former government minister. Reform UK MP Swella Braverman said the ruling brought by Oxfordshire County Councils proved the UK was a joke country. Ms Braverman previously served as a Conservative Home Secretary and Attorney General. The County Council was granted a High Court injunction to stop unknown people from placing flags on lampposts in Oxfordshire. It claimed that raising flags near highways risked public safety and involved trespass and obstruction. The widespread flying of Union and St George's Cross flags following an online campaign called Operation Raise the Colours has become contentious, and several local authorities have removed them from public infrastructure. While some politicians decried the removals, others claimed the increased number being flown was a result of xenophobia or racism. The council said flags had been placed on or near public roads without permission for months, despite a formal legal notice in March and pre-action legal letters sent to individuals in May. In a judgment on Friday, Mr Justice Dexter Diaz made an injunction order ordering unknown people not to attach flags to highway structures or paint them on roads in Oxfordshire. Breach of the injunction can lead to seizure of assets, unlimited fines, or imprisonment. In the wake of the announcement, Ms Braverman, who is the Minister of Parliament for Fareham and Waterlooville, criticised the decision. Talking to social media site X, she wrote, "Joke country, flying the national flags in Oxfordshire now amounts to breaking the law. Only reform will bring this nonsense to an end." The judge has said, "The motivation for the claimant's application against person unknown is that a significant body of participants in the affixing of flags in Oxfordshire remains unidentified at the time of the applications and indeed at the hearing before the court." Mr Justice Dexter Diaz continued, "Although the claimant has repeatedly removed unauthorised flags, more flags are later affixed. People directed by the claimant, whether council employees or contractors, have been obstructed in the execution of their removal duties to the extent that at times they have simply given up on that removal." The judge said that workers have faced abuse or intimidation while taking flags down, as well as residents. He added that maintenance teams have been working in fear and are told to wear face coverings and have had to check vehicles for tracking tags after workers' home addresses were published. And the article is accompanied by a picture of Reform UK Suella Braverman and Nigel Farage.
Here is a notice about a road closure in Wallingford. St John's Road will be closed from the 14th of August to the 28th of August due to repair works on a leaking valve by Thames Water. The location is somewhere near Little.
There are two family announcements this week. One for Ingrid Eaton, who died on the 27th of July, aged 91, beloved wife of the late John Eaton, loving mother, grandmother and great-grandmother. Funeral service to be held at St Mary's Church, Wallingford, on Tuesday the 25th of August at 2 o'clock. Donations in memory of Ingrid are welcome to support ongoing works in St Mary's Church. And the second one is Ira Leonard Hoare, passed away peacefully at the John Radcliffe Hospital on the 10th of July 2026, aged 85. Ira was the loving wife of Derek, much loved mum of David, dearest grandmother of Evie and Dallin, and a great friend of daughter-in-law Katie. Ira's funeral will take place in St Mary's Church, Wallingford, at 2 o'clock on the 27th of August 2026. She will be buried in Wallingford Cemetery. No dress code, wear what you like to celebrate her. Daffodil pin badges to wear will be given on arrival. Afterwards, a celebration will be held at the Dolphin. Flowers or donations in lieu of Lou to Marie Curie via irahoremuchloved.com.
The next article is Curious Facts with Jennifer Walsh, entitled The Right Stuff. Writing, and therefore the pen, is an essential element of human evolution. Early writing implements included the Chinese reed brush, which used flexible bristles to direct ink across paper and silk, and the Egyptian reed pen, carved from thick marsh grass to release fluid onto papyrus. From the 7th to the mid-19th century, the quill pen dominated. Fashioned from large bird feathers, such as swan, turkey or goose, which dipped into ink, the hollow feather shaft held a small reservoir, providing a short but steady flow. Industrial manufacturing transformed writing in the 19th century. In 1828, John Mitchell mass-produced machine-made steel points, enabling precision and stylized scripts. Concurrently, the fountain pen was being developed, which solved the nuisance of having to continuously dip the nib into an inkwell. Throughout the 20th century, ink delivery evolved from early glass and metal vials to the modern disposable plastic ink cartridge by the 1950s. The next major leap was the ballpoint pen. John J. Loud painted an early design in 1888, but Laszlo and Gigorni Biro perfected the Biro in the late 1930s. Its revolving metal ball delivered quick drying ink. Today, despite digital technology, the pen remains an indispensable, portable and trusty companion.
Now we come to the footy page. Ramsey says, "I will not hide after the Ewes Orient defeat." Aaron Ramsey insists he will not hide after suffering defeat in his first competitive fixture in charge of Oxford United. The Ewes were defeated 2-0 by Leeds One opponents Leighton Orient in the Carabao Cup, bowing out in the first round. Dimitri Mitrill and Idris Elmizuni scored two late goals after a tightly contested match saw the Yellows fall to a late loss. Oxford were without Brian de Keersmaker and Stan Mills at Brisbane Road, with the two left out of the squad after missing training for some of the past week. United kick off their league campaign next week at home to MK Dons. "We're disappointed after the result," Ramsey admitted, after the Orient defeat. "We want to win games and it's never nice losing them. If I take the game as a whole, I think we created some really good opportunities. Just having that little bit more calmness and a clean pass or shot, I think we could have executed that bit a bit better. I'm not hiding behind the fact that my team, I want us to have a lot more control in the game, and at times that did get away from us. But I said before, it's not going to be perfect and it's going to take a bit of time. I can't hide behind the fact as well that the last 5 or 6 weeks have been really positive. What I'm looking forward to now is that when we're in front of our home fans next week, we're getting into the right areas and are creating the chances, and I won't be more concerned if we weren't. But we did today. We did it on a few occasions. It's just about clinical in the final third. We're not getting too carried away when we win games like we have done in the pre-season, and won't get too low when we've lost games. The Ewes started brightly in East London, but were gradually restricted by Orient's man-to-man marking. Oxford must find a way to still pierce the defences of the opposing teams. When teams do come man-to-man up for us, it is for us to recognise the press and play beyond there and then play off it. This is going to be good learning from this, because we have had the game last week against Ipswich where I thought we were tremendous throughout the whole game. There'll be plenty of things that we can look back on here, but also in amongst that, there was some really positive stuff as well. We're going to be asked questions this season, there's no doubt about that, and I fully believe in the players and the way they want to play.
Another football item, this is about Sam Long, who is optimistic, and there's a nice picture of him at the top of the column. Oxford United defender Sam Long says he's optimistic about the new season, despite defeat in Aaron Ramsey's first competitive game in charge. It was the former Arsenal's midfielder's first competitive match in charge of Oxford, with the League One opening day arriving next weekend. United began the game brightly, but were soon prevented from playing in their new style thanks to the host pressing and man-marking. We need to be able to look at certain situations in games and adapt more quickly, Long admitted, after the loss at Brisbane Road. I don't think it's up to the staff all the time. I think we're within the game and we're really experienced players in there. We should be better at adapting to that and we'll learn. We've got another full week on the training pitch to right some of the wrongs that happened today. But I think if you look at the pre-season as a whole and today, I think we can be optimistic about this season. The Bicester-born right-back is one of the players that were in the League One playoff winning squad of 2023-24, along with other notable names such as captain Cameron Brannigan and Kieran Brown. In the midst of a transfer embargo and with the club having to fight to keep hold of their star players this summer, United face a tough task to get out of the third tier immediately after their championship relegation. We've got a lot of experience in there, a lot of experience in getting out of this league, reiterated 31-year-old. It's not going to be easy. It wasn't easy the first time we were in it, and it's not going to be easy this time. I've got to be on my game, and so has everybody else, to keep their shirt, because although we're an embargo, we've still got a good squad and there is good competition for places.
Okay, so that concludes our recording for the paper this week. Stay listening after this goodbye, because there's a few articles from the monthly magazines to listen to. But for this week's Herald, thank you for listening and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Next, an update from South Oxfordshire District Council. Chairs charities for 2026-27. At its annual meeting on the 14th of May, SODC elected Councillor Andrea Powell as its chair for the 2026-27 municipal year. As the author of this article, I can state what a privilege it is to have been elected by fellow councillors to this important non-political role, and how much I am looking forward to a year of meeting volunteers, charities and residents from across the district. I will also have the pleasure of chairing the meetings of full council and keeping your councillors in order. It's worth noting that I take on the role of chair exactly 30 years after my fellow ward representative, Councillor Sue Cooper, had the same honour. Sue has always been an inspiration to me, and I look forward to representing the District Council in our final year as a fully functional local authority, as well as she has always done. One of the best bits about becoming chair is that I am able to nominate two charities to be the focus of fundraising activities over the course of the year. My two charities are very local and support vulnerable and less able people in our community, enabling them to enjoy fulfilling and active lives. Styleacre is a charity which supports around 275 adults with learning disabilities and autism in supportive, creative and dynamic environments that allow them to fulfil their potential and live the life they choose. You may be familiar with the Styleacre shop in Wallingford or the cafe at Savage's Garden Centre in Blueberry, but less so with the community hub called Turnstile, located at Howbury Park. This hub hosts activities which include arts, crafts, gardening and crockery, and cookery while acting as a base where people come to learn life skills, make friends, have fun, and to develop their independence and confidence. Styleacre also accommodate adults in housing across the district, enabling them to live independently but with appropriate support as needed. Cycling Without Age is a global charity founded in 2011, which now has over 4,000 hubs worldwide, including a brand new one in Benson and another one in Wallingford. CWA, Cycling Without Age, Oxfordshire provides free trishaw rides to elderly, isolated and vulnerable people, whether they live in one of our local residential care homes or in their own homes. Trained pilots take up to 2 passengers in specially adapted e-trikes for joyful rides around the local area, enjoying social interaction with others, feeding the ducks at our local ponds, and experiencing the wind in their hair, whatever their age or ability. You may have already seen the trikes taking elderly residents from Benson House Care Home around the Benson Village. Next time, be sure to give them a cheery wave. The next item from the Round and About magazine is entitled Tracks and Tales. Could you help the much-loved Cholsey and Wallingford Railway volunteers keep Wallingford's history alive? Membership is open to all, or maybe you could volunteer yourself. The familiar sound of a heritage train pulling into Wallingford is one many local families know and love. From festive Santa specials and bunk fest services to school holiday adventures, the Cholsey and Wallingford Railway has become a cherished part of community life. What many people don't realise is that this much-loved heritage railway is run entirely by volunteers and relies on the support of members and visitors to keep its story on track. Membership is one of the simplest ways to help preserve this unique local attraction. Every subscription contributes towards maintaining the railway's historic rolling stock, stations, and track while supporting events and future improvements. The railway connects Wallingford with Cholsey along a branch line that has played an important role in the town's history. Today it offers visitors a chance to step back in time and enjoy a nostalgic journey through the countryside. You don't need to be a railway enthusiast to become a member. Many supporters simply value having a heritage railway on their doorstep and want to help ensure it remains part of the local landscape for future generations. For those looking to get more involved, there are plenty of opportunities too, including joining the volunteers. To find out more and to get in touch, please visit the Cholsey Wallingford Railway website.
The Wallingford Emergency Food Bank, WEFB, is a registered charity based in the heart of Wallingford. Its mission is simple but essential, to provide emergency food parcels to individuals and families in need. Founded in 2011 by Churches Together in the Wallingford area, WEFB has grown significantly over the years. In its first year, the charity supported about 400 people. Today, demand has risen to about 6,000 people annually. WEFB relies entirely on the generosity of volunteers and donations of food and funds from the public, local churches and community organisations. Find out more at wallingfordfoodbank.org.uk. Head to Edfest. Edfest brings free music, family fun and community spirit to Didcot between 12 noon and 9 p.m. on the 1st of August. Edfest, taking place in Edmonds Park on Saturday the 1st of August, marks a new chapter for the much-loved Didcot Summer Fair. The free festival promises something for all ages, with live music, food and drink, children's activities, arts and crafts, community groups and local businesses in the heart of the town. organisers have chosen fun as this year's theme. Thanks go to this year's headline sponsors, Didcot Town Council, Didcot Windows, SOHA, Wallingford and Didcot District Rotary, and Gurkha Sunkoshi. Music will once again be at the heart of the festival, with a packed programme showcasing local talent throughout the day. Star performers include Dead Man Walking, The Limitations, The Curse of Khan, The Crimps, Purple Grace, Honeymooners, The Greenway Project, and Mudflap, spanning multiple genres. Alongside live entertainment, visitors can browse a wide range of stalls, discover local organisations and charities, and enjoy family-friendly activities and food and drink from local vendors. Edfest is a chance to celebrate the people, groups and businesses that make Didcot such a vibrant place to live. Visit ed-fest.co.uk for more information.